Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, you are tuned in to Second Wednesdays with Senator Barbara A. Robinson on Tribe Family Channel. Get ready to be encouraged, uplifted, and enlightened. And without further ado, Senator Emerita Barbara A. Robinson.
Hello, everybody. I'm so glad to be with you on this fantastic day in May, and my life is so full, and I'm so grateful when I look at so many things that are happening in the world and just absolutely in Baltimore City. I can thank God for his graciousness and for his forgiveness, and I want to start out with a prayer from 2 Samuel, verse 22, chapter 22, verse 29 from the King James Version, it says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." That's the scripture. And the prayer is, "Dear Lord God and Father, you are my light. I ask that you would lighten these dark situations today. Show me how to partner with you in prayer and action to bring light to this dark world. Amen." And when you pray that prayer, dear listeners, name the situation that you want God to show you how to partner with. And, you know, have you ever had a situation that you just don't know how to deal with, or a work problem that you just can't solve? You continue to look for a solution, but it seems that all you can find is darkness. Now, I know I have many, many times been in that situation, and we can spend hours and days and even weeks and sometimes months working to try and find a solution or solve our own problems. But I believe that this little verse that we just prayed is important in helping us rewire our thinking. I believe that the Holy Spirit is leading his people to utter these words over their situations and over their problems. And we need to affirm the truth that God alone is our God. And he is our God, he is our light, he is our salvation, and it is he that will lighten up our darkness. And our darkness is our load, or whatever it is. It could be betrayal, it could be disloyalty, it could be that job that you wanted to get but you were fired from or let go, whatever your quote-unquote darkness is. And we need to learn to rely on his promptings for every part of our lives. And I would like to encourage you today to pray this verse that we just did over whatever situation you are facing today, and look for signs of grace as you do. You know, I say that because I'm just, you know, when I look at my life and I think about some of the things that have gone on in my life, and I look at people who are younger than I who've gone on to glory, and people who are my same age and have retired or contemplating retiring, and they go through this woe is me type of situation, thinking that life is over for them, and the only thing that they can do is to sit back and remember how things used to be and where they used to go and who they used to be and all these other kind of usedness. And a lot of times our friends have gone on to glory. Maybe your family members have gone on to glory, and you are left as the matriarch in the family. And then you look back and you look at your life and you say, "Dang, I'm the oldest one that's left in my family. I mean, people are looking up to me. That means that I'm the next one to go." And then you start feeling your immortality. You start feeling your mortalness, that you can go at any time. You know, you start looking at God. Everybody's gone. When is it going to be my time? I don't think about those things. I don't think about my mortality. I don't think about when it's time to go. I don't think about if I don't have long to live. I think about what's next. You know, I don't say that I've retired. I say that I have transitioned from three different areas in my life, one from the court system. And if you've read my bio, you find out that I worked at the court system, and I started in the 60s. And I was the first woman and the first African-American to be deputy administrator of the district court, deputy administrator of the Supreme Bench, which became the circuit court. I integrated the restrooms in the court system. I started women wearing slacks in the court system. I started African-American women wearing the natural hairdo in the court system. Now, that's going back some years. Maybe some of you who are listening, you weren't even born then. And then I retired from that or transitioned from that and then went into business for myself with three different companies, Star Associates, Inc., which was my for-profit company, Self Pride, Inc., which was my nonprofit company, and Buma LLC, which was a partnership with me, my daughter, and one of my daughters, and my son. And after that, when my time in that was over and my son took over until we sold the business and sold the building, then I went into politics. And I went into, joined the race of running for a seat in the House of Delegates, the oldest one in the race. You know, everybody laughed and said I couldn't win because not only was I the oldest one in the race of nine other candidates, I didn't know anybody who were politically astute. So I didn't know anybody who would make a donation to my campaign, but God put me in a position where I was able to finance my own campaign. So after spending 10 years in the House of Delegates, and then went on, that time was over, then went on to 2 years as a state senator, and that time was over. The last of December of last year. So now I'm saying, okay, God, what's next? And then I started just being quiet. You know, someone says, well, how do you get into yourself or know what it is that you want to do? Well, you just have to get into your quiet space, get into your own self and learn, well, what is it that I really want to do? You know, people say, find out what you're good at and some people say, well, find out what you've been doing and whatever you've been doing, and if you're good at it, then start your business in that. And I don't say that. You may be good at something because it paid you enough money in order to take care of yourself financially. You may be good at doing hair because you did that in your house and that paid the bills, but you really didn't like being a stylist. You may be good at typing, and you did that because that was your job. You was a clerk wherever you worked, but you really didn't like it, but you did it, and you got good at it because it paid the bills. But I say, look at what you like to do, and you will get good at it. look around and search yourself and find out what is it that I would really do if I were not getting paid for doing it. What is it that I would really do if nobody knew I was doing it but me? I'm not doing it for fame or fortune or for recognition. I'm doing it because I really like to do it. And you will get good at it if it means going back to school. You will get good at it if it means taking classes that you have to pay for. Whatever it means, you will get good at it. Now, that's one of the things that I started looking at after I left the Maryland General Assembly and became part of the retirement group or transitioning group. And I didn't look at that as retirement. I looked at it, as I said, as what next. So then I started thinking about what it was that I actually did before I jumped into the race to run for the House of Delegates. Well, the companies that I started, one was training and development. And I've been training and doing workforce development and consulting and teaching business development for over 30 years, from Africa to I've gone to Argentina. I've traveled the world. I've gone to Korea and to Turkey and to other parts of the world. And I've seen so many different things, and I've learned so many different things from so many different cultures, so many different races of people, so many different projects that I've been involved with. So what is it that Barbara Robinson really wants to do? And then I started saying, well, I really do want to go back to what I was doing then, what I was doing before I jumped into the race. And that was training and workforce development, as I said. And then I started looking at some of the things that I have on my computer, and I found out I really don't have to reinvent the wheel, because the things that I had started doing, I had started working on, they are in my computer. You know, when I talk to people, I say, get with God, and God will show you the way. I was at a meeting last week. And I was sitting there, and I was listening to these people who were that I was with, and they were talking about the marijuana industry. And they were talking about the billions of and trillions of dollars that's coming down the pike in that industry. And people, you might want to close your ears, you might not want to listen, but it's not if that industry comes. It's when it comes. And if we don't get on board with it, we will be a day late and a dollar short. So I'm sitting there listening to these millionaires talking about, well, one person put $20 million and one person $10 million and the other $15 million. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, well, why am I here? And as I'm sitting there listening, and just as clear as day, the word BAPCO came to me. And I said, God, is this you speaking to me? BAPCO. I could not get that word out of my mind. And all that day, and I was down at National Harbor. Driving back, that's all I could think about, BAPCO. What is it that BAPCO needs to do? Well, in any industry, you need training, you need employees. And you and as I'm sitting there listening to these millionaires talk, they know how to build a business, but a number of them don't know how to get in there and do well. If they do know the day-to-day management, they really don't have time because they're busy building a business. So I took a walk and looked at some of the industries that are coming around and looking at. They're saying that they want to hire people from the community, and then I look at the people in the community who actually need jobs, and these individuals in the community need to know the work environment. how do you job development, job readiness is what I'm saying, job retention. How do you stay involved in business? How do you go about getting a job? How do you go about keeping a job? And I'm talking about these individuals who are in the street, on the street corner, and knowing how to engage with the street corner individuals selling drugs or whatever, being squeegee kids or whatever it is, but with just some, and these are some real bright minds, and with some push, some encouragement, some understanding, these individuals not only can they become great employees, but at some point in their life, with the business experience that they have in the streets, they could at some time become great employers. And that's where I am with that, and that's where Babco. So my next venture, everybody, I'm starting Babco LLC. And I love it, and I love it. And I'm kind of excited. You know, it's like a new game to me. You know, there are new rules, new players, new environment, new horizons, and I just get excited when there is something new. And I'm at a stage in my life when people are talking about, well, when are you going to retire? I'm just about retired as I ever will be. You know, there are several reasons why people don't act on their ideas. And there are four reasons that I've listed where people don't act on their ideas. Number one, they don't think that they are inventors. You know, we really don't look at what we have or the idea that we have and think it's something that somebody wants. You know, nobody wants that. Or, you know, and I'm thinking back to when I lived in the projects, and I would socialize with individuals who were comfortable with being where they were. I've never been comfortable with being as I am. I'm always looking for what's next. So living in the projects, I was still going to school. And I'd go to school at night, and then my husband and I, my late husband and I, would scramble to get money to pay a babysitter to watch my children. I had four babies, four of them born in the same year, a set of triplets. So when I said I had four babies, I had four babies. And I'm still trying to go to school. And when I would talk to some of the my colleagues that were not interested in school and actually weren't interested in me being in school, and I would say something to them, and they would, if I would write something, and most of you know I'm an author, I'm a published author. I've written 11 books, and 6 have already been published. And when I talk about some of the things that I want to do, and some, well, I don't know who you think you are. Nobody want to listen to that that garbage, and nobody want to hear that mess, you know. And so if you start internalizing the negative things that you get from the people that you socialize with, you start thinking that, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe they don't, nobody wants to hear, especially if you've written something and you've been rejected. And you start thinking that maybe nobody wants to read this, or nobody wants to look at what I've put together, or nobody wants to eat this if you want to be a chef, or nobody wants to, whatever it is. So you start internalizing the negativeness. And that's one of the reasons that we don't act on our ideas, because we allow other people's power, other people's idea of who we are to define who we are. And that means that they have power over you. And the definition of power is the ability to define reality and to have others react to that definition as if it were their own. So what they're doing is having power over you, defining what your reality is, and you are reacting to their definition of your reality. But if you think of yourself as an inventor, You know, this is who I am. This is my reality. I will define my own reality. And number two is they don't believe in their ideas enough. These are reasons why people don't act on their ideas. They don't believe in their ideas enough. If nobody believes that you can conquer whatever it is, you should believe. If nobody has any faith in what you are doing, you should have faith in yourself. And if nobody gives you a word of motivation, motivate yourself. My fifth book is called Mind Bungee Jumping, and it contains 55 original poems and 2,000 motivational quotes. Some of those motivational quotes are mine, and some belong to other people that send them in to me because they know that I needed motivating or that I was collecting motivational quotes. You know, I've been doing a lot of talking, and I'm going to continue to share with you. But if you want to join in on the conversation, I would love to hear from you. Call in at 347-539-5285. 347-539-5285. You can listen to blogtalkradio.com, Gumbo for the Soul. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. And this is a tribe family station created by Beverly Black. But listen online or join in. 347-539-5285. I'd love to hear what your someday is. And another reason why people don't act on their ideas, they don't know how to follow through. Now, if you've come up with an idea, just like I just said, Babco, in order for Babco to become a reality, it meant that I had to establish it as a viable business. So I called a friend of mine and got the papers from the Department of Taxation and Assessment, fill out the forms in order to become a business, talked with my accountant, this is what I'm going to do, talked with my, well, I ran it past my son, and he just said, Ma, this is an excitement because you are starting something all over again. And I knew you wasn't going to retire. I knew you wasn't going to sit still. Family know me. They know I really don't have time to sit still. I sit still when I'm 6 feet under. But as long as God allows me to walk this earth, I'm going to keep pursuing what it is that I want to do. Follow through on your ideas. If you want to be a chef, go back to culinary school. If you want to be a teacher, then go back to school. If you, whatever it is that you want to be, what you want to do, follow through on it. And number four, the reason why people don't act on their ideas, they fear criticism and ridicule. You know, I can't tell you how many times when I started in business that my so-called friends asked me when I was going to get a real job and asked me when I went back to school to get my degree, when I went to get my bachelor's degree. It took 18 years for me to get my bachelor's degree. The graduate degrees from Johns Hopkins University and Coppin, those came easy. But that first undergraduate degree, my first bachelor's degree, it took 18 years for me to earn my bachelor's degree. And I cannot tell you how many times people told me that I thought I was this and who was I fooling. I've been going to school for so long that I will never graduate, and I don't know why you don't stop trying to pretend that you're or this. And if I would say something like in a joke, someone would make a comment, and I would say something, you're trying to beat me for my mind. And then there you go again, beating you for your mind, like you got the only mind. And, you know, if I said something about it's raining outside, or you think you're the only one that know it's raining, You know, people are going to find a way to pull you down, because if they can pull you down to where they are, then they can always say, I knew she wasn't going to do nothing for me. I told you. Because they don't want to do anything, and as long as you are where they are, they're comfortable. But if you pull yourself out of that rut and go on and go and find your someday and achieve your own definition of success, nobody can pull you down. Nobody. And I'm at a place in my life where whatever Barbara Robinson wants to do, whether anybody like it or not, Barbara Robinson is going to do it. Because I am the only one who's going to die for Barbara Robinson. So that means that I should be the only one who's living for Barbara Robinson. And when it's time for me to take my last breath, I want them to put on my tombstone, she did it her way. And I want to go out with a smile on my face, knowing that I did it my way and I enjoyed the journey. You know, the richest part of the world, the richest land or the richest property is the graveyard, the cemetery, because it's filled with so many unrealized dreams. It's filled with so many people who said, I'm going to do so-and-so one day, someday. You know, my fourth book is called Someday Is Now. And it talks about people who had so many dreams, and sometimes they did not act on those dreams. They kept saying that one day or someday. And then when some catastrophe or some tragedy comes along, like 9/11, September 11th, when the World Trade Center was bombed, and so many people who left home that morning expecting to return home after work that day and maybe pursue their someday tomorrow, never got a chance. Never got a chance of having their tomorrows come. Never got a chance of pursuing their someday. You know, I talk about someone in my book that had purchased this lingerie. And she was saving it for a special occasion. And she was one of the people who was killed in 9/11 in the World Trade Center. And as her husband was preparing her funeral and was going through clothes for her to be buried in, and he started crying, and because he pulled out this lingerie and said, this is the special occasion that my wife will get a chance to wear this negligee, her special occasion. So I don't do anything. You know, we used to have church shoes and church clothes and Sunday clothes and Sunday hats and Sunday jackets and Sunday shoes and holiday this. And to me, every day above ground is a holiday. To me, every day is Sunday. You know, people always talk about how stylish I dress. You know, I went to get my hair done today, and my beautician said, where are you going? I said, I'm going back home. Dress like that? Absolutely. Because every day is a day of celebration. And that's where it should be with you, dear listeners. Every day that you get up should be a day of celebration. And I get up every day, and before I do anything, I get on my knees, and I thank God for bringing me through last night. Old man, death could have come and taken me, but for whatever reason, God breathed breath back into me and allowed me to get up again today, a day that I had never seen, and start all over again. And then when I go to bed at night, I thank God for bringing me to that point in my life and ask him to watch over me during the night and help me to arise the next day. Every day is a day of celebration. And steps to act on your ideas. Now, I just gave you four reasons why people don't act on their ideas. I gave you four reasons. They don't think that they are inventors. They don't believe in their ideas enough. They don't know how to follow through. And they fear criticism and ridicule. Now, there are five steps to act on your ideas. Number one, record it. Write the vision and make it plain. Make it plain that you can understand. You know, when I was in business, when I first started in business, this was back in the 80s, when I first started my first company in 1986. And there was another young woman who went in business at the same time that I did. And when I was talking with her, I asked her, you know, what do your business do? What do you do? And she says, oh, we do this and that, you know, whatever another person can't do, we come in and we make it happen and we pick up the slack. Now, I never did understand what it was that she did because it was not plain. We just do this and that. What is this and that? We pick up the slack when another business can't do what it is that they. What does all of that mean? You should be able to define what you do so plain that anybody can understand it. You should be able to explain it in two sentences. What is that you do? I do training and development, workforce development and consultation, small business development. Now, my second book, Yes, You Can, How to Start and Operate a Business While Pursuing Your Personal Goals. It talks about starting a business and how, and it's for the novice who's just starting in business, who does not know. And you know, one of the things that I'm so proud of now is that Amazon is taking my six books and putting them together in a series that's called Barbara Robinson's Moments in Time. My first book is, I talk about where I started, you know, and all of those things where people say that you would never amount to anything, and so many people said about me. And then I talk about starting a business. And then that's the reason that it's a moment in time, because each one of my books, it's talking about what I've done between the dashes of birth and death. The next step, five steps to act on your ideas. Step number two is add it to your to-do list. Everybody should have a to-do list. I cannot remember what I'm going to do from one day to the next unless I have something written down. And if you would look at my calendar is just as busy as it was when I was a senator. As a matter of fact, it's busier than when I was a senator. But it's more enjoyable because it's what I want to do. It's on my own time. It's calling the shots on my own life. And I love it. I love what I'm doing. I love who I am. And I love who God has allowed me to become. And I'd like to hear from some of you. I'd like to hear what it is that you're doing. Talk about your someday. Give me a call at 347-539-5285. And if I don't hear from you, then that means that I must be doing a good job talking if y'all want me to keep talking. So y'all know Barbara Robinson. I'm very loquacious. Which means I can talk, y'all. I can talk on and on and on. And when somebody asked me to write something, send me a little note, and I start writing, and my daughter said, "Mom, they didn't ask for a dissertation. They asked for you to just answer a question." I love to write. The second step in this 5 steps to act on your ideas was added to your to-do list. And number three is carefully think through the idea and the possibilities. Now, when you act on your idea, not only think about the possibilities, but think about the consequences. Every possibility has a consequence. And let that consequence be what you want it to be. You know, I used to talk about that when I was teaching in prison. I taught in Jessup, which is a medium security prison. I taught there for 7 years. And I used to, and I was there, I taught there 2 days a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I would get 30 male inmates in my class. And it was a 10-week program. And after 10 weeks, they would, quote, unquote, graduate. And then I'd get another 30 male inmates. And I was teaching job readiness, how to find a job, how to keep a job, how to sell yourself, communication skills, how to be interviewed, and how do you turn a negative past into a positive future, how to look for a job. And a lot of the material that I was using was outdated, so I used my own curriculum. And I also taught in 3 different colleges in Baltimore, and I used my own curriculum then. I've been using my own curriculum. When I taught, when I had a court reporter's class, when I was with the court system, and the Sun paper called it the first in the nation, and I also used my own curriculum. So I've been developing my own curriculum for years. But when I was teaching in prison, and I tried to give this scenario to the young men that were in my class of you can go and look at your possibilities, but look at your consequences. And sometimes your possibilities have unintended consequences. For an example, say you are, and this is what I used to use with them, and it's very plain that you can understand this. Say that you are in prison, and that you've gone through class, and you're really, really proud of the accomplishments that you've made, and you want your mother to come and see you get this little piece of paper that said that you completed this course. And then your mother does show up, and when she shows up, she's been drinking, and she comes in and she staggers in. She may be staggering, but she did come to see her baby boy graduate. But this embarrasses you. So you start loud talking and want her put out, and you embarrass her, and you call her old drunk, and you start calling her different names, et cetera, et cetera. And your buddies there all jump on you because this is your mom, regardless of what she's looked like. This is your mother, and regardless, you don't know what this alcohol, you know, alcoholism is a disease, so you don't know what she's going through on the outside because you're incarcerated. So instead of you being glad that she's here, you embarrass her. Now, you did get her to come, but your unintended consequences is that now your buddies are blaming you, and they are angry with you, and they are disrespecting you. They are embarrassed with you because of the way that you treated your mother. Now, that may be an elementary example of unintended consequences, but you get the idea of what I mean, because the consequences may not the results of your possibilities. That it may not be what it was that you're looking for. So look at what your possibilities will entail. And number three, always be acting on at least one idea. You know, life is too short for us to sit back and say, well, maybe I'll think about this tomorrow. or maybe I'll work on this tomorrow. Work on something. Be working on something. It's kind of like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And that's kind of how you go through building up your someday. You just chisel it one stroke at a time, one idea at a time. And that's the way life is. You just go through it. You can't accomplish everything all at once. You do it one at a time. And number five, know when it's time to move on. And that's a big one. You know, sometimes when you want to start a project and you keep working on it, and you see that it's not happening, know when it's time to start on another project. Don't waste time wasting time. Get on with your life. You know, tomorrow is not promised to us. And you know what? Neither is the rest of today. The only thing that we can be sure of is right now. Because in the next minute, you might have a heart attack and might not breathe in the next 5 minutes. So the only thing that you can be sure of is right now. Now those are some of the things, reasons why people don't act on their ideas. They don't think that they are inventors. They don't believe in their ideas enough. They don't know how to follow through. They fear criticism and ridicule. And five steps to act on your ideas: record it, write the vision, and make it plain. Number two, add it to your to-do list. Number three, carefully think through the idea and the possibilities. Number four, always be acting on at least one idea. And number five, know when it's time to move on. I hope you got those, dear listeners. Again, you're listening to Senator Barbara Robinson, retired Senator Barbara Robinson. And you're listening to Second Wednesdays with Barbara Robinson. And I'm talking about my what's next and starting a business or working your plan or working your someday. And if you'd like to join in on the conversation, it's 347-539-5285. That's 347-539-5285. Do I hear somebody that's on the line?
Yes, you do, Senator. It is your engineer, and I want to tell you that the phone lines are lit up, and as we approach the last 15 minutes, I would like to open up the phone lines and see if your listeners would like to say anything. I did send out a couple of communiques, and some are content with listening. But we will go to caller area code 443 with the prefix 244. Caller area code 443 with the prefix 244. Did you have a question or a comment for Senator Barbara Robinson?
Yes. Hi, Senator Robinson. This is Ms. Brown, and I'm still going to call you Senator because you're still my Senator. I just had a question because I know you spoke a lot earlier in the conversation about the businesses that you've been able to have and accomplish. What was the process in obtaining an 8A, and how long was that process?
You know, that's an excellent, excellent question. I was in 8A at that time. You had to be in business for a year before 8A. In case other people are listening, 8A is a numerical number 8, and the small letter A in parentheses. And 8A is a status of set-aside projects with the federal government. And individuals who are women or minority women, and there are various categories that you fit in as a minority that's identified with the federal government, but you fill out these forms and for the 8A certification, and I think you have to be in business for a year. It may have gone up to 2 years, because when I was 8A, this was back in the 80s and early 90s, and I was in 8A business for 10 years, and that's what they you can be at that time it was 9 years, but now I think you can be in 8A business for 10 years, and after that you will quote unquote graduate out of the 8A program, and when you graduate, they feel that you should be able to stand on your own. Then there are a number of projects, and at that time they were SINC codes, Standard Industrial Classification Code, but now they're called North Atlantic Identification Codes. Each project, each thing that you do, each service has a code that's assigned to it. And I would suggest anybody who's 8A certified or want to be certified, get in good or graces with the ombudsman. Every federal organization has an ombudsman that will talk about what that that agency purchases, what kind of purchases, what kind of services, etc. And it is a great way to start. But I made a mistake when I first started. When I filled out the application, they ask you how much money would you think you'll be making in the first year, and I put $50,000. And then they said second year, and I put $75,000. And the third year, I put $100,000. Well, when there was a project that came when I was in my second year, and the contract was for $100,000. Well, because I said that I could only handle $75,000, they didn't allow me to bid on that $100,000 contract. So don't limit yourself when you fill out these forms. Let the sky be the limit. I hope that answers your question. And if whoever you are, Ms. Brown, if you'd like to get in touch with me, then I would be glad to help you with that, because that's a great way to start earning federal money. It's a great way to build a business. I made a real profitable business on 8A contracts.
Thank you so much, Senator.
You're welcome.
All right. All right. Senator, shout out your email address.
My email address is barbara4025@verizon.net. That's barbara4025@verizon.net.
All right, all right. Well, let me check on some more of these calls. I see another hand up. I think it's a 443-413 prefix, and I think I'm familiar with this number. Area code 443, prefix 413, from our sister station, called to serve. This is the Queen of Diamonds,
Daisy
Brown.
Hello. Hi, my dear. Hi, my dear. Both of my dears. Hello. And good evening, everyone.
Hello.
I just want to say good evening, Senator Robinson.
Absolutely.
I've been listening to the show. I've been learning, as usual, because you're such a wonderful teacher. And I just want to say I'm so happy to have you a part of our family. And I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day, and may God continue to bless you.
Thank you so much, and back at you.
Thank you.
I thank you for always being so encouraging, and you always have something lifting to say. And I'm just so glad that you're in my space.
Well, I'm probably gladder, if that's such a word. So I'm just so elated. Okay, well, I just wanted to say happy Mother's Day to you, and God bless you. I just love the fact that you are still here helping people, you know, even though you retired, because most people retire and they want to go fishing and traveling and this, that, and the other, and you have still continued to support your community, and that is just so wonderful. And may God just always keep his loving arms wrapped around you.
I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you, and back at you again.
Thank you. And I'm going to let you go because I know time is running out and other people want to talk.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If someone wants to call in, and we're at 347-539-5285, and you're listening to Second Wednesdays with Barbara Robinson. Is there anybody else on the line?
That's going to do it for now, Senator Barbara Robinson. They're still holding and listening. There are several callers, but they have indicated that they would like to listen. Would you like to take a commercial and come right back up? Come right back for the wrap up?
Well, we only have 10 minutes, so if we could go right on and then wrap up in 5? It doesn't matter.
That would be fine. Yeah, that would be
okay.
Fine. Okay. Thank you.
I just want to share some things with you. So many people are asking, well, what am I doing? And the reason that I created BABCO, so many things are coming up. People that I have been involved with for years. And that's why I'm not going fishing and sitting in a rocking chair, because there's just so many other things to do, and I get excited when I look at the things that are coming up. You know, for an example, when I let a friend of mine who is in Mauritania, Africa, know that I had retired, well, not that I had retired, but I'm transitioning into another career, and I'm no longer being held in constraints or restraints by the ethics commissioner, that there are certain things that I could not do when I was a member of the Maryland General Assembly that I can do now. One person said, I'm so glad now you can be on the board. And then somebody else, my friend from Mauritania, said, I will be in Baltimore in May, in this month. And there are 4 projects that I want you to help me work on in Mauritania. Now, I told her I would help, but she want me to stay there. I ain't staying over there a month. I got too much to do. I said, I'm not going to stay there a month. And so she started a school there. And when I saw the board, the name of the school starting up, it was Barbara Robinson's name. And so I'm kind of excited about getting there and meeting with the young ladies. And find out what it is that they're doing, and how I can help. You know, I really get real excited when I see young people, especially young women, that are starting businesses at early age, 15, 16, etc. I get real, real excited about that. And then someone called me from Nassau, Bahamas, that was reading a letter that I had written to them 20 years ago. Can you believe it? About some things that I wanted to do when I was teaching, while I was doing a project over there with Sojourner Douglas College. And they're starting a school there with disabilities, and asked if I would come over and give them a hand with putting a project together. Well, that was one of the things that I did in my company, Star Associates, Inc. and Self Pride, Inc. Taught how to work in group homes and alternative living units. And there's a difference. If I had time, I'll explain the difference between those two. But how to work with people with developmental disabilities in a normalization setting. And so those are some of the things that I was doing, and I'm really glad about being able to do that again. It's one of the training that I'm going to be doing. And also a Sister for Sister group that's been in existence for 17 years, and I've been on the board during that time, but I haven't been able to be as active as I want to be. And this is a group of business owners, and some are novices and some are planning on becoming business owners. And there are about 200 of them, actually. And this is in Linthicum, Maryland. But I wanted to start a chapter in Baltimore. Back in the 80s, I had a chapter of minority women business owners in D.C., in Delaware, and Virginia. And when I went on another direction, organization is not viable anymore. So I want to start, with some of the sisters from the Sister for Sister group. We're starting a chapter here in Baltimore, and we met last Sunday to talk about what that will look like, and we're going to be meeting on the fourth Friday of every month to build up that group of women, helping women. It's Sisters for Sisters Network Incorporated. And what that is, it's a group of women who are networking, helping each other to become successful. And we'll talk more about that. I'll bring Peggy Morris on the next time, and we'll talk about what that looks like. And she's meeting with Les Brown and somebody else, Willie Jolly, I believe it is, this week. Those are some of the mentors of the group. But I'll talk more about that at a later date. And so I see I'm running out of time, and I thank you so very much for listening to me and putting up with me in my mess. And I look forward to seeing you the next time. This is Barbara Robinson saying, follow your dream and let it be your dream. And don't let nobody tell you that you cannot be who it is that you want to be. Just keep on pushing. And excuses are tools of incompetence, used to build monuments of nothing. So don't make excuses about who you cannot be, who you can be. See you later. Good night.
Hello, everybody. This is State Senator Barbara Robinson from Baltimore, Maryland, representing the 40th Legislative District in Baltimore City. It is a pleasure to come on to talk about Genius is Common, because there are so many young people out here who are geniuses, but they don't know it. They don't know how smart they are. They don't know how talented they are. They don't know how many skills they have, because they have not taken the time to explore themselves. When people say that the graveyard is the richest plot of land in the world, they're absolutely right, because it's filled with unrealized dreams, with stories that we've never read, plays that we've never seen, songs that we've never heard, books that have never been written, because individuals who are geniuses never knew that they were geniuses. You know, I taught in prison for 7 years, and I can't tell you how many times I've read books written by incarcerated inmates who knew that they could not, didn't know that they could write until they were incarcerated, or the poems that I've read by poets who didn't know that they were poets until they were incarcerated, or Christmas cards, Valentine cards, special interest cards that were not only drawn or painted by incarcerated individuals, but the verses inside were also written by individuals who never knew that they had that type of talent. And when you look at people, some of the young people who are in the streets, who are selling drugs, who are really running a business, but don't know that they have that type of business mentality because they have not put it to legal use. Genius is common. Genius is common because I have a painting that's hanging in my basement now that was painted by a man who's doing time for murder who never knew he could paint until he was incarcerated. And the amount of money that he committed murder over does not compare to the amount of money that he could make selling his paintings. So those young people who are coming behind us, those of us who are in leadership positions and those who are coming behind have to know that we forged a path for them to realize their dreams, to step into their greatness. So individuals on whose shoulders let's square our shoulders and let the young people coming behind us stand on our shoulders. Let's also build a bridge over which that they can travel from where they are into their future, utilizing their geniuses. The future is made for them to step into their greatness, but oftentimes they don't know how great they are if they have not had a chance to realize their dreams. So I want to say to you people, young people who are listening to me, never allow anyone to define your limitations. Never let anyone to tell you what you can or cannot do or who you can or cannot become. Never sell yourself short. And always, always realize your dream. And never get stuck into now. Bridge yourself to go into your greatness. And remember, and I want to leave you with this, that genius is common. But what is not common is that you knowing how great you really are. So genius is common. Step into your greatness.
Blackness.